The government had promised to return land at the end of the war, which failed to occur. And one thing that we found is that the government didn't need the land. We gained access to the Department of National Defense archival files, and they said they would want to close it down, that the militia, or the army, the regular army, had only used it for wartime purposes and that they were going to pull out. And they made the recommendation to close Camp Pepperwash in 1946 and return it in 1947. They issued some documents to the Justice Department, and those documents are unavailable today. They're still in the Justice Department. They have never been returned to Indian Affairs or National Defense. There's documents in the Office of the Privy Council and in the Prime Minister's Department that have never been relinquished back to Indian Affairs or to the National Archives. Usually after a 25-year period, any government official documents are submitted to the archives and they're preserved. Stony Point is a rare issue. When the whole picture was starting to come into view, the Oka crisis had broken out, and Native people in our area were becoming Native, that's how I can put it. They wanted to assert themselves, and a lot of the younger children looked up to the Oka incident as a means of asserting their Native rights. And we didn't want our people to be subject to any type of danger. We wanted to make sure that whatever we did was lawful, was within the confines of law, and that nobody's life would be endangered. The government was looking at it. They were videotaping us as if we were terrorists. In last August, on 16th, we issued a notice of eviction on April 16th with a 90-day compliance. We went back on August 16th and held a demonstration there. So they had the militia and the army was there with their riot squad watching us. And there wasn't that many of us there. There was only around 40. Going back to August 16th, when we, you know, continued our work, we wanted to show that we were doing everything in a legal and upright manner, that we applied every act of law that we could find and bring it to the eyes and attention of the government. But we found that that didn't work at all. The government was more inclined to listen to civil disobedience and to demonstrations more than petitions, even proving the point that that land should have been returned. Clifford George, I was going to bring him with us today. There's a picture of him up there. He's a man who went to war in 1942. And took part in the Second World War. He was captured at the end of the Second World War. He spent 3 months in detention and a prisoner of war and came up 3 days short of his veteran's pay. And I took him to Toronto and I asked the Globe and Mail, would you like to do an article on the Stony Point issue? And they said, well, what's it about? We've heard of it, but we don't know what's going on. I said, there's a report from the Standing Committee on Aboriginal Affairs that is making a recommendation to the House of Commons to return the land. And Clifford George is one of our main speakers who has helped us to try to retain our land back. So they done a story. And as soon as that story was issued, the government immediately sent out a statement to the Globe and Mail and to surrounding newspapers stating that any war veterans from the Second World War who was short a week would not be able to receive these benefits as a result of some policy. So they monitor what goes on, like any type of news article, news-related bits and parts, anything that is detrimental to the image of the government of Canada. I'll introduce